Hey guys, Michael Griffiths here, founder of Referral Marketing Guru. Welcome to this week's Get More Referrals Today podcast. Today, really excited. We're coming both through audio as well as video. So wherever you happen to be listening, watching, we're in for a real treat. Not very often do I do something like this where we bring in somebody who I know can really just help change your business straight away. I know a lot of the time you get to listen to me, it gets boring. I get it. So I went, hey, let's do something a little bit different. And as I said, I think we're in for a real treat. So today I've got Glenn Kirkwood with me, AKA that referral guy. And you might go, well, hold on, Michael, your referral also and Glenn's referral, like that doesn't make sense. And that's the first lesson. You never know what someone does until you start having conversations with them. Because in essence, we could both call ourselves the referral guy and we go hand in hand and fit so nicely with what each other does. But more importantly, let's actually get Glenn on, get Glenn sharing his story. I've got a whole bunch of great questions to be able to drill down on, to be able to show you just really how you could be getting more business and be able to grow your client base through using networks that you have around you. And the nice thing, Glenn actually sets all of this up. So it's on autopilot for you. Glenn, welcome. So good to have you on.
Mate, thanks very much for having me on the show. Although I'm not surprised because as you said, it's not often that you would have someone in a similar field. That's usually because what shows up is a scarcity mindset. And I know that you don't have that. So the second thing that comes up for me is you've got to have a lot of trust. To make sure that someone is going to compliment you. So we both have that. We've had previous chats about it. So thanks very much for welcoming to the show. Thanks for the trust and thanks for having me on the show.
Nah, absolute pleasure. Now, I've had the pleasure of, we've sort of been in the same worlds. We've been sort of in various similar networking groups. I've known of you for, I reckon, at least a decade. Mm-hmm. So I know the sorts of things you do and the person you are is very much around integrity and adding value and really being able to help businesses. Everything you've done has always come down to making sure that businesses where they struggle to get leads and clients and opportunities and referrals, that doesn't have to be the case anymore. Just fill us in a little bit about your background and then let's get into the sorts of fun things you're doing at the moment.
Okay, well, I've been in sales and marketing for 30 odd years. You and I met one another, I'd say at least 10 years ago. We were in a similar networking group and we were both doing different sort of roles, but ultimately it was helping small to medium businesses get more referral work done. And then you went out on your own. I remember coming to a couple of events and supporting you when you were running those networking sessions. They were fantastic. They were awesome. I basically wanted to see what you were doing that was different to what we were currently doing before. So my, I guess, journey has always been in the selling space, but when I started moving in towards networking, I had a real growth curve because my highest three values are business relationships, intimate relationships, and social relationships. So it's around business and relationships. I do love helping people. I guess I've built a career out of speaking about integrity, relationships, how you can actually get more customers because you can either do three things. You can buy a list, grow a list, or rent a list. And I've just enjoyed being in that space. Father of two gorgeous daughters, married for the last 21 years. I don't know how many of those are happy. Some are, some aren't. They've always been a challenge a little bit like business. But I actually get a kick out of helping small businesses, not from a financial perspective, but seeing them either get back time or getting their business back on track.
Yeah, love it. Fantastic. And so right now, you've got a really interesting little concept, little niche that you're in. Let's talk about that a little bit more and explain to people, I suppose, in as basic terms as we possibly can, because obviously I took 45 minutes to get it the first time. Mm-hmm. What are you doing? How are you helping? Who are you helping?
Okay, so for the last couple of years, I've been working in the space of financial services. The industries that we help are accountants or people in the accounting profession, the legal profession, the finance broking or money, sales, property sales, and insurances space. And I guess estate planning, sorry. We deal in that profession because that's the way the organization started. So what we do in essence is surveys. but we do intuitive surveys. So what I'll do is I'll put together a pot of people, and then everyone will survey one another's clients, but with specific questions about the other industries inside it. Now, the surveys are intuitive, meaning that someone could go into a survey and be there for 40 seconds, or they could be there for 10 minutes, because the questions they're only going to fill out are based on their interests. So if someone says, yep, I want to know about money, what's going on in my money world, they'll get deeper and deeper questions. Now, I say the surveys are different because we actually got to get people to think. So when we start out surveys, we start out saying, let me step back. Most people think surveys are 1 to 50 questions, boring, and only used for data that goes nowhere. In our situation, what we want to do is we want to go deeper into our client's world and find out what else we can do to help them. We ask them a bunch of questions. They answer questions that are specific to them. And the end result would be that I can do an introduction for those people. And we set all of that up automatically, because I know that sometimes people, life just gets in the way. So it's called the law of diminishing intent. I'll have a willingness to help out you, Michael. You'll want to help me out. But then all of a sudden we get on with our day and then things just happen. And sometimes we don't get around to doing that, or don't get around to doing it in the time that one of us says, hey, this is the time that we need to do it. So what we do is we set it all up automatically so that the referrals come through in small, manageable batches on a regular basis.
Yeah, love it.
Is that a better example? Is that better? Yeah.
Yeah, it makes so much sense in that a pod is created with people who naturally are already sort of selling to the same sorts of people anyway. And rather than sitting there twiddling our thumbs, hoping that someone remembers us or someone talks about us or someone has a conversation about us, through using technology and surveys, we can straight away find out who out of their clients or who out of their networks or who out of their wider, the people around them, actually would like to find out more about the things that we're doing.
If I know the type of client that you're looking for, right? Why don't, and you sit down and you know the types of questions you would ask someone in an onboarding call, right? And you sort of say, well, Glenn, if somebody answered these 6 questions in this particular fashion, that would be a great opportunity for me. I'm like, great. Why don't I just take those questions and then just put them in like a robot sort of thing and go through my CRM system, right? Why do I have to be, I mean, if I trust you, Michael, and I do, why do I have to each week, you know, keep on looking out for opportunities for you? Right? And sometimes I'm going to get that wrong. How about you write the criteria and then just send it through straight through my CRM system? And it's a bit like going into a library and going, I'll have that book, that book, that book, that book. And sort of going, great. Can I come back to this library next week? Yep, sure can, Michael. And you take out the next bunch of people that fit your criteria. And that's what we do. We just set it up automatically. And because the marketing that we do is very much opt-in, so the client actually has to keep saying, yes, give me more questions. Yes, I want someone to contact me. It's like the 7 different types of opt-in. It's not pushing information onto them. And I like that.
100%. We talk all the time around how do you ensure that you're attracting rather than chasing? And that's exactly what this is. It's like people are being positioned. So like your clients in the pod get themselves positioned as the go-to, the expert, the person who can actually add value and help. And therefore it's like, well, who wouldn't want that if that was the pain point that you wanted solved? So love it. So what tends to be, what do you think is a bit of a downfall to why people find it so hard to sort of team up and partner up with other people and to share networks and to be able to help one another? What, in your experience, and obviously there's been a lot through different networking events and now into here, what sort of seems to be some of the pitfalls that people sort of run into?
The first one is I don't think they collect the details of everybody they come in contact with. They don't understand the difference between a lead and a client, right? And that they could be value of both. So everybody that I come in contact with, I'm just automatically trying to add value. And I want to add as much value as I can so that should the opportunity arise where I need to ask them of something, that they're already in a reciprocity sort of moment. I know your people watching this will understand reciprocity, but for any of the people that get this on the replay or whatever, reciprocity is Michael is doing something for me right now, right? He's allowing me to come onto the show, right? That's a huge win for me because there might be some people watching this that we might be able to help out, all right? So right now what's happening for me when I get off this show, I'm going, What can I do for Michael? All right. So I think that's probably the first thing that a lot of people don't do. They just walk around and go to networking functions and see what I can take. But you can be very proactive in working out how to contribute towards someone's life so that they want to give back to you in return. I'd say that not understanding, reciprocity, not understanding how to collect a list and how to build a list. And you should always be adding to the list and many different details. And I'd also understand really not understanding their own target market and who else would serve that market. If we were to say builders, if you're building a home, you need a chippy, an electrician, a plumber, a builder, probably an architect if you're building a different type of home or a modular home, a landscape gardener, those people are going to work together. But they work in such a fashion when you build a house that different professions have to come in at different times to build the house. And it's got to be done it's got to be orchestrated so well that it's in a minimal time frame. If businesses understood that they're in that for the customer as well, they would have a lot more referral partners. And that's the beauty of your program. You teach them how to actually network, who are the people before, who are the people they're after, and how to set up those relationships.
Yeah, no, so true. And it's, we've chatted about it before, it's surprising the small number of people who actually realize how important it is to have a network of people around and how to engage with that network correctly and how to really build relationships with other people. So for you to be able to take pretty much the hard work out of it. That's really yes, it's great to have a network and it's great to, but if you're really busy and it's all about, hey, I'd love to get some quick wins, well, you've already got all this set up. So it's fantastic.
Michael, can I just add one point on that? Yeah. I think sometimes you don't understand the context of things. Like I remember everyone saying to me, the money is in the list. What is the list that you're building? And so, I started putting together a list. The first CRM system I started using was ACT. And it used to take some time. So if someone joined my LinkedIn or someone joined my Facebook, I would enter those details into ACT. So that's double handling in a way. But I started entering them into ACT. I'd go to networking functions and collect a bunch of business cards and stuff like that. I'd go in and enter them into ACT. Or scan them in, when you came across those scanners. But then no one taught me what to do with the list, right? So I had this amazing list of about 10,000 people, but I still didn't know what to do with it, all right? And so I think it's good that you have a list or a lot of people on LinkedIn or Facebook or whatever, but how are you adding value to them? What are you trying to do to contribute towards them so that they actually give a shit about you, all right? And most people just, it's not about the size of the list. It's about the connection that you have with people on those lists.
So true. Yeah. As we sort of break down three segments to marketing, at the top, build your audience of people who have the pain point that you solve, not just anybody. And then the second part, educate, share your expertise, move them from being a red, lukewarm prospect to a green, boiling hot prospect. And then down the bottom, you can now ask because you know that you've got people ready to go. So true.
When I saw your blueprint, I just sort of went, all of the training that you and I went through before, I looked at that and went, what a valuable blueprint that is to get people to really see it visually and articulate it in a very, very simple way, because there's a lot of information out there. You can get a little bit overwhelmed with it, but having it in a very simple form, sort of going, okay, so I do this and do this and do this. Yep, that's the bonus of joining a program like yourself, because you really do map it out into people who don't understand this area. And that generally, I'd have to say the profession that I deal with don't like selling, all right? They like to attract clients, which is a much more powerful. I saw a Facebook Live you did a few weeks ago, how the power of attraction rather than pushing stuff on some people is way better in terms of conversion. But when you've got a simple system you can follow, you're sort of going, you know what? At the end of it, I actually can see that I could grow my business. It makes sense for people.
Yeah, love it. Let's go down this path. So surveys, like I hear the word survey and I think of the ridiculous things I get from Virgin, from Commonwealth Bank, from where it will give you $50 to fill in the survey to help us. It's about us. It's about me. It's always about me. I really don't give a hoot about you. You go in a draw to win $100, but give up 10 minutes of your time to be able to do so. Like, that's the connotation that comes straight into my head when I go survey, because unfortunately, I get so many people do it so horribly because it's always about them and not actually about the person who's at the other end. But using surveys in terms of being able to find ways to add more value to the people who already know, like, and trust you is really powerful. And obviously, people could do this themselves really right now. I could just simply send something out to all of our clients with two or three questions, which then told me straight away whether this particular person would be a great connection, a great person to introduce them to or not. Mm-hmm. Talk to me a little bit more about surveys and how people could actually just do that off the bat right now in the next hour.
Okay, great. Well, thanks for that. And I thought the same thing when I first heard about it. This client actually came to me by referral and said, hey, listen, this is what I've got. And then I've dived in deeper and helped him expand the business. But I'll just tell you a quick story before. When I sold a property, I got sent a card, and it was a send out card, and I thought it was great. All right. Except I opened it up and it said, hey, thanks for listing your house and selling through us. Who do you know who else could use our services? And I got a little bit confused. I ended up turning that into a story I call chocolate cupboard poo. All right, because it looks really nice. It looks like chocolate. It smells like chocolate. You take one spoonful of it and it stinks like shit. And what I mean by that is I couldn't tell whether or not that was a thank you for doing business with me or please refer me to someone else. And I just thought, how cheap. All right. If you're going to give to someone, you have to just give to them. All right. So he should have just sent me a card that sort of said, hey, thanks very much for doing business with us. And 2 days later on, he could send me another card, which I know is double the expense, but it leaves a totally different feeling. So when you're doing a survey, you actually have to, you want to be touching base with your clients to sort of saying, hey, I know you bought product A from us. And you might only buy this product every 7 years if you're doing property or doing a conveyancing matter or something like that, or legal matter. You might only use them every couple of years. So how do you actually keep on touching base with your clients on a regular basis that you're not trying to say, hey, do you want to buy another house? Do you want to buy another house? Because you can't keep doing that every month. We call it keeping your clients sticky towards you. And this is how the business really started. It started by a guy who sold property, investment properties, and sort of said, well, I can't keep on contacting them about my stuff. So what else can I do for them? Well, you know what? I'm just going to pick up the phone and start calling them and saying, how else can I add value to you in your world? And at the same time he was doing that, they were going, oh, hi, I remember you. You sold us a property a couple of years ago. And if you kept on doing that and sort of saying, well, listen, maybe there's an accountant I can help you out with. Maybe there's a solicitor I can help you out with. Maybe you've got some money that you need. So he was always trying to introduce his referral partners, you call them, okay? And by doing that, he was able to add massive value to his referral partners, but also for his clients as well. And so should they ever need a property, they would sort of say, well, Craig's in my world all the time, or Glenn's in my world all the time. I'll just buy another one through him. So we've used surveys in a way that is adding massive value, all right? We can tell, and the techniques that we use, we get over 50 to 55% open rate and around about 41.7 to around about 47, depending on the different industries, completion rate. So I can tell you that mortgage brokers have the highest open rate, but accountants have the highest completion rate. And I can tell you how many bits of work turn up per 100 emails just because we've done that many surveys. And it's because we want clients to remain sticky to the original client, to the original contact or the person doing the surveying, and adding value by introducing their referral partners. And the best thing is it just happens automatically. So
love it. Love it. It's such a great analogy. It's like the people who, yeah, send a card, but let's plaster all of our logo and contact details and everything on the back. And really, you're really sending the card because of your own benefit, not because of them. So true.
I don't think people realize that they're doing it, how cheesy it looks sometimes. I mean, I know it takes longer. All right. It's like It's like the same feeling you get on your birthday on Facebook. You get 400 or 500 people that message you and you can say, going, you don't know that it was my birthday. This is not feeling special to me. Yeah. You know, if you turned up with my house and left a cake or a cupcake or something like that, that would make a difference. And you wouldn't have to do that every year. You'd only have to do it once and I'd remember it for 10 years and I'd tell everybody on Facebook anyway, look what Michael did for me. He celebrated my birthday with a cake, right? Yeah. But I'm not going to talk about the other 399. So, yes. You know, if I had a logo on the cake, how cheesy would that be saying, hey, happy birthday from that referral guy. By the way, take a photo, selfie of me. And now, that's not giving, right?
Yeah. Yeah, no, correct. It's like, I wish I could change. Unfortunately, we're stuck with this. It's like a financial planner, a mortgage broker, it's not our normal one, who had to do the property through the self-managed super fund. So every year we get the card with a $1 scratchy on the birthday. And it's just like, you don't call, you don't check in, you don't do anything else. And you think sending in a card with a $1 scratchy every year on the birthday is actually doing you favors. All it does is just make me more annoyed at you than what I already am.
So I was doing a presentation for a client the other day and the person had been referred to me because we only work by referral. And on the call, they were talking about this particular gentleman. I said, okay, well, don't forget, they've recently had a family tragedy. They've got the wake on Saturday and Greg won't be back to work on Monday. And they went, how do you know that? And I'm like, because I give a shit. And I ring them on a regular basis, not about just work all the time. Sometimes they just pick up the phone and just go, hey, what's going on? And they want to talk work. I'm like, no, it's not the right time. You've had a loss in the family. I'm just ringing up to make sure you're okay. I won't allow them to talk work, because I want to make sure that I'm developing a relationship with them outside of the work. Yeah. So that they give me that feedback on, Glenn, hey, you're stuffed up, can you fix this? Or clients don't leave you when you really take that sort of level of care. It's just that we tend to run out of time when that happens. And so we really minimize it and cut it down to its basics. And we think we're doing the right thing, but actually we've forgotten what the essence of real giving or contributing towards someone's life is.
I think that's so important. No matter where you're listening to this Get More Referrals Today podcast, on YouTube, on iTunes, on Spotify, through our social platforms, that right there needs to be written down. Pick up the phone, speak to your clients and engage to make them feel a particular way to you. You can influence how someone feels any moment you want to decide to do that. Don't get too busy. Pick up the phone and speak to the people that matter to you. I think it's brilliant.
We had someone yesterday and I asked them, how big's your CRM system? How many people you got in your database? And she said 90. And I said, okay, we need to stop this presentation right now. At 90, you could pick up the phone and you could have way better results in terms of retention than using a system like ours, okay? You only need to use a system like ours when you've got about 200 plus and you're doing your normal work and you can't get through ringing those people on a regular basis. But she said, what do you mean? I said, 90 people, there's 52 weeks in the year. That means you only have to ring two clients, different clients every week for the next year and you'd be through them all. And they would remember that more than they would remember an email.
So true.
When we do our surveys, here's the other challenge that came up for us, because we've learned, I guess, by making a lot of mistakes, we learned that you can't just ask questions of people. And there are, so we thought, well, what type of questions are there? So we've broken it up into three areas. First of all, what we call general or lifestyle questions, because people like talking about themselves. Secondly, then we need to make thought-provoking questions. And by that, I mean, if I was to ask you, do you have a will? It's either yes or no, right? But a thought-provoking question, we've actually got to get people to turn on their brain. And I don't mean that disrespectfully. I mean that people do so much almost robotic versions of themselves. So I don't think about driving anymore. I know how to drive, right? It's in my subconscious. So we'll ask a question like, does everything you have, if you die today, does everything you have go to the people you want it to? Okay. And the answer is the same, but you actually have to think about it. Then we go into what we call trigger questions. And trigger questions are six questions opt around someone's that if they said yes to all of those would be a good opportunity for that particular business. And so we've got a very thought out sort of process in getting people to complete surveys that are of interest to them. So there's no point in sending people questions if it's not a topic that they're interested in. So if they're fine for finance, well, why would we ask them more finance questions? So we bypass that section and go into the next section. If they say they're right for estate planning, we bypass that and they go into the next section. And that's why someone could be in and out within a survey in 10, 15 seconds, or they could be in there for 10 minutes because it depends on their journey. And that's what really people care about. So it's not getting people to fill out surveys for survey's sake. It's sort of saying, hey, Michael, I want to know more about you. Tell me. And then I ask you a range of different topics and you tell me what's of interest to you. And then I ask you more questions about those and then say, well, can I help you introduce you to someone who I know is awesome at this? And they go, yeah. So we get very high completion rates, open rates, and people filling out surveys. And then we've built the model. So we've sort of gone, hey, if you had an option, if you wanted to pay for a system, where would you rather pay for it? Pay us up front now and we'll see what we can do, or let us share in the profits when you get deals. And so our clients came back and said, well, when I get the money in, that's when I'd like to pay. And we said, okay, great. So we built up that financial model that works for them as well in that way.
Yeah, love it. Fantastic. Thank you. This has been great. How do people reach out to you, get in touch with you? If you're in the financial industry, if you're an accountant, if you're a mortgage broker, you'd be silly not to be looking at this as another way of being able to bring in leads into your business. How do people get in touch?
Okay, so as they're typing out, the referral guru, just take off the guru part and write that referral guy and I'll come up. All right. So I know they're doing that on a regular basis, typing in you, Michael, but my email address is glenn@thatreferralguy.com.au. Or you can go into my Facebook page. Facebook's probably the best way to connect with me to see stuff that we're doing. The company that I work with is a company called Sync Surveys. So you can check out their website.
No, that's fine. Look in the description below wherever you are listening or watching this. The referral, THE referral guy.
THAT, that referral guy.
THAT. That's referral guy. The link will be in the description to both the Facebook group as well as the website. So make sure you click on and reach out to Glenn. Said if you're in those financial services, this is a bit of a no-brainer to be a part of. Glenn, thanks so much for jumping on, for joining us. It's been a real pleasure and always insightful, and really looking forward to being able to do a lot more things.
Mate, thanks very much for having me on the show. Just remember, make, build, and share connections.
Yeah, nice. Love it. Okay, guys, this is the first time you're listening to our Get More Referrals Today podcast. Make sure you subscribe on iTunes, on Spotify, on YouTube, and join us on any of our social platforms to make sure we just keep bringing you great people who can help you grow your business. Till next time, take care, and I'll see you all soon.